Steve Futterman at Fort Kansas, where Army Staff Sergeant Robert Bales has been officially charged with 17 counts of premeditated murder. This for his alleged role in the massacre of 17 Afghan civilians earlier this month. The 38-year-old Bales is also charged with 6 counts of attempted murder. The charges could result in Bales being put to death. He was informed of the charges here at Fort Leavenworth, where he is being held. Earlier today, Bales' defense attorney John Henry Brown said he believes it will be difficult for the government to prove its case.
There is no crime scene. There is no, there's no CSI stuff. There's no DNA. There's no fingerprints. It's just going to be interesting to see how the government's going to prove this.
There is no precise timetable for when an actual court-martial might take place, but it can sometimes take years. I'm Steve Futterman at Fort Leavenworth, Kansas. Now with more CBS News, here's Pam Coulter.
President Obama is among those who wants to get to the bottom of the shooting of an unarmed black teenager in Florida.
This is a tragedy. I can only imagine what these parents are going through.
At the White House today, the president said he was glad the Justice Department is investigating.
I'm Jim Crisula in Sanford, Florida. 26-year-old George Zimmerman has the support of friends, including Frank Taft.
George's story needs to be told, and of course he hasn't come out yet, but I feel very confident he will, and he will be exonerated.
Many want Zimmerman, a Community Watch volunteer, arrested for fatally shooting an unarmed 17-year-old African-American teenager who was walking home after buying candy and a drink at a convenience store. Jim Crisula, CBS News, Sanford, Florida.
As gas prices continue to climb, President Obama wants you to know he feels your pain. CBS's Sam Litzinger reports.
President Obama has been talking with AAA about rising gasoline prices, which, of course, so many of you notice every time you fill her up. Mr. Obama says he understands what Americans are going through because he knows paying for gasoline takes a big bite out of folks' paychecks. He says gas prices have gone up and down for years, but the way to help stabilize things is to make sure America has more control over its own energy security and reduces its dependence on foreign oil. Sam Litzinger, CBS News, Washington.
2 years after the president signed the landmark health reform law, GOP presidential candidates vow to repeal it, frontrunner Mitt Romney.
Obamacare is massively more expensive than had been originally estimated, and we cannot afford more government spending.
Rival Rick Santorum believes he is the clear alternative to President Obama.
And I've said repeatedly that we need a choice, that we can't have a decision between Tweedledum and Tweedledee. If we don't have a choice, then a lot of voters are going to vote for what they have. That's why we have to have a choice.
GOP candidates are campaigning in Louisiana on the eve of the state's primary. The Dow is up 51 points. This is CBS News.
Hi, I'm Ryan Newman, driver of the number 39 Quicken Loans Chevy for Stuart Haas Racing. I've got a question for you. Want to be my boss? No, really, I'm serious. It can happen when you enter the Quicken Loans You're the Boss sweepstakes. Win, and for one amazing race weekend, you'll be an honorary co-owner of the Stuart Haas race team. Enter the Quicken Loans You're the Boss sweepstakes today at QLRacing.com. You'll get to hang with me, my other boss, Tony Stewart, and the whole crew. Pretty cool, huh? Oh, and get this. If you win, you'll also walk away with $10,000. Got your attention there, didn't I? So come on. What are you waiting for? Enter the Quicken Loans You're the Boss sweepstakes today at QLRacing.com. That's QLRacing.com.
No purchase necessary. Legal residents of the 50 United States and D.C. 18 and older. Void where prohibited. Promotion ends 4/30/12. For official rules and complete details, visit QLRacing.com. Sponsor, Quicken Loans Incorporated. Equal housing lender. Licensed in all 50 states. NMLS number 3030.
Pope Benedict is on a visit to a 500-year-old silver mining town in central Mexico, and it's something of a challenge.
Very narrow streets in Guanajuato. Just getting the Pope into this town, getting him around this town, has been an incredible feat of logistics. It's taken hundreds of people to decide how to move him, and actually, because there are so many stairs in Guanajuato, he's probably going to have to be taken in to the back of buildings so that he won't have to use all those stairs.
CBS's Adrian Bard. With all the trades going on in football, the people who put out the trading cards need to do a little photo shopping. Tim Tebow's now a Jet and Peyton Manning a Bronco, and Bowman Football, a branch of Topps, is coming out with new cards of the players. The images retouched to reflect their new teams. Company spokesman predicts the cards will be super valuable. Pam Coulter, CBS News.
There's no guarantee your new proposal will be approved by your biggest client. No guarantee your son will win his lacrosse tournament. We live in a world where guarantees are few and far between. But when you invest in municipal bonds insured by Assured Guarantee, every dime of principal and interest is guaranteed. Savvy investors rely on Assured Guarantee's financial strength and municipal credit experience. For insured municipal bonds, talk to your financial advisor or visit thinkassuredguarantee.com.
Spring is in the air, which means now's the time to stop by Lowe's and save big on everything you need to get out there and improve your yard. Like refreshing your flower beds with 3 bags of Preen Mulch Plus, now for only $10. And if you want to revive your garden with some fresh springtime veggies, pick up some Bonnie's Vegetables, now just 2 for $5. To take advantage of these and other great values for spring, hurry into Lowe's today. Lowe's, never stop improving. Offers valid through 3/26. Color selection may vary by market. See store for details.
Full slate today. We got Karen Vealy coming in. We have Jim D coming in. And Ivan Ob, the Pied Piper of the Central Coast, will join us at 1:30.
And now, here's Bill Binica.
I couldn't get all out. There's so much to get in, I couldn't get it out. There's so much to get in, I couldn't get it out. That makes any sense. Hi, you're with Bill, Talker Sheep, Friends and Neighbors Network. This is 1340 KYNS, San Luis Obispo, California. And this is your news station. And this is our commentary and our thing about news. And then here's the other thing, too, I wanted to do, if I may. And if you'll indulge me, please. I would like to take this moment to and dedicate this song to Rod, Helen, and Casey and their late wife and mother, Bonnie.
Thank you. This is Talk is Cheap. With Bill Benica. The Friends and Neighbors Network.
Go, Mo. Mo barbecue, please.
Mo ribs, Mo chicken, Mo pork, Mo beef, Mo burgers, Mo onion rings, Mo potato chips, Mo beans, Mo fried green tomatoes.
Mo barbecue, please.
Mo slaw, Mo tater salad, Mo house salad, Mo Cobb salad, Mo Caesar salad, and Mo's Calypso salad. Mo sodas, Mo brewskis, Mo lemonade, Mo iced tea.
Mo barbecue, please.
At Osos in Monterey and San Luis Obispo and at Pismo, it's the bomb. Pomeroy's most bodacious beach barbecue, babies.
Mo barbecue, please.
If there's nothing quite as tall, we say it's the tall est. If its strength knows no equal, it's the strong est. Loudest, longest, neatest, coolest, mostest. In other words, if it's the best, it's the est. Enter Charter Internet. Already with the fastest download speeds, now our customers get even more speed for free. Guess that makes it the fastest est. Try saying that 5 times fast. Don't already have Charter Internet? Well, what are you waiting for? Preview Charter Internet Express, now with speeds up to 12 megs for only $19.99 a month for 3 months as part of a 2-year price guarantee. We think you'll agree, it's good to be the fastest. Est. To sign up for the fastest speeds, call 1-855-2-GET-FAST or visit charter.com/freefast today. Increase for Express and Plus customers only. Offer expires 4/30/11. Package rates apply in months 4 through 24. Installation, taxes, fees, surcharges, and equipment extra. Early termination fees and restrictions apply.
That's right. So your basic, understand with Charter, it gets smarter because your basic service is 15 megabytes per second. You can get up to 100 megabytes per second, which is like that. All right, let's do our who's-its and what's-its and our people in history and all that stuff. According to the Tribune today, this is a highlight in history. On March 23rd, 2011, Academy Award-winning actress Elizabeth Taylor, the violet-eyed film goddess. And I'm told that her eyes really weren't violet. They were blue. But I'm not going to try to change anybody's mind. Whose sultry screen persona, stormy personal life, and enduring fame and glamour made her one of the last of the classic movie stars who died in Los Angeles of congestive heart failure at the age of 79. On this date in 1775, Patrick Henry delivered his address to a Virginia Provincial Convention, which he is said to have declared, "Give me liberty or give me death." I think he said, "Give me liberty or give him death." All right. In 1806, explorers Mary Ware Lewis and William Clark, having reached the Pacific Ocean, began their journey back east. Whew. They soaked their feet first. Sir Roger Bannister has a birthday today. He's the runner who broke the four-minute mile. He's in 1954, he's 83. Singer-producer Rick Ocasek is 63. Singer Chaka Khan is 59. And gossip columnist and blogger Perez Hilton is 34 today. Happy birthday to them. Happy birthday to you if it's your today. It's going to be another nice day.
Happy birthday to you.
Have you ever worked with Coastal Computers? Coastal Computers is here for the small business. The small business that needs computers, technology, and networking to stay even and be competitive. They're here for the small business that can't afford to hire a computer staff. They're here for the small business that needs to get it right the first time, who can't afford the pain and the horror stories that we've all heard about. Coastal Computers has been making the tough stuff easy for over 25 years with lots of happy clients. They're worth a call at 543-9047. Call 543-9047. Coastal Computers, Microsoft, Intel, and networking specialists. 543-9047. Or visit ccslo.com. ccslo.com right now. The small business favorite's favorite. ccslo.com. Coastal Computers.
Coastal Computers. ccslo.com. We're actually, Karen's going to be a little bit late because she had to pick up her grandson. And so she'll be here. And then here's the thing, I want to go and run this story right here because this is the story about George Zimmerman, the man who shot Trayvon Martin. And you know, I got to thinking about something. How can you be a neighborhood watch captain if you don't know who lives in your neighborhood?
"28 years old. Until a month ago, he was, his neighbor Frank Patton says, just a guy who cared.
George was a caring, passion. He had a passion for
the safety of our neighborhood. And he demonstrated to the rest of us that one person could make a difference. And he was an average guy, just like me.
We know him only from what people say of him, from the couple of pictures there are of him, and from his voice on the 911 calls he made February 26th, the night he shot and killed Trayvon Martin.
This guy looks like he's up to no good, or he's on drugs or something. It's raining, and he's just walking around looking about.
Zimmerman says the shooting was self-defense. He has not been charged with a crime. What we've been able to piece together about George Zimmerman's life, you might say, is a contradiction. In 2005, he's arrested for resisting a police officer without violence after an incident at a local bar. He pleads not guilty, but later he enters a six-month pre-trial diversion program as part of a plea deal. As this document shows, it's extended 2 months because, quote, my program participation has not been satisfactory. Later that year, Zimmerman and his ex-fiancée both file for protection against domestic violence after each alleged there was pushing and hitting. None of this sounds like the boy George and Kay Hall knew. Zimmerman was an altar boy in the Catholic Church. He didn't move to Florida until after he graduated high school here in Manassas, Virginia, in this house across the street from Hall.
They were a tight-knit family, very good with their children, were very well behaved. They didn't run around loose or anything. They were faithful. They were active in the Catholic Church.
And this is the George Zimmerman, the just a guy side, the man trying to make something of his life, the side George Hall knew. Zimmerman was a part-time student at Seminole State College, studying general education, but today the college withdrew him for safety reasons. He's worked various odd jobs, security for a home party company, and for a time around 2008, he worked at CarMax. That same year, Zimmerman applied for and was accepted into a citizens outreach program run by the Sheriff's Department, which introduces participants to law enforcement procedures. Before he's accepted, Zimmerman has to explain his 2005 arrest. He writes in part, quote, I hold law enforcement officers in the highest regard, as I hope to one day become one, end quote. In fact, a couple years ago, Zimmerman called his old neighbor George Hall, asking for a letter of recommendation for a law enforcement application.
Very positive one. I mean, I have nothing but the strongest positive feelings for the whole family, including the boys.
We don't know what happened to the application, but when he volunteered for and became the neighborhood watch captain a couple years ago, it may have been George Zimmerman's way of walking a beat. John Zarella, CNN, Sanford, Florida.
So George Zimmerman, as far as we know, never became a cop. He became a Negro hunter. Okay, that's really it. All right, now, other things are going on in our world. There's stuff and things that are happening. And once again, Karen Beely's on her way in, and we'll be talking to her for a little while. Then, Jim D. from the Palm Theater is coming in because he's got his all-new projector and digitalis Fujimungai. We'll talk to him about that. And then Ivan Ulv, who, if you haven't heard of him, go on Facebook and look up Ivan Ulv, and 100 million people have heard of Ivan Ulv. And he lives down in Halcyon, and the kids love him. The kids love the guy. All right. That's what's going on today, plus whatever else happens today. What else can happen? What else can I squeeze in? I can squeeze in this. Two things. We're being brought to you in part by Carol Phillips and the Swiss Dental Center. And if you go to SwissDentalCenter.com, you can read all kinds of testimonies and stuff because people really like this woman and what she's done for them. And so if you have teeth that aren't there and you want some where they were, then you go to see her and they'll get back to where they were. All right, that's the way that works. So we thank her for helping sponsor the program. Also sponsoring the program is Spencer's Fresh Markets. Freshness is local, and they got great things going on. How about lean ground beef, a value pack, 3-pound package or larger is $1.99 a pound. Buy 3 pounds, I mean it. Make it for chili, make burgers out of it, whatever you're going to do. And I want you to know, I mean, please try Spencer's hamburger. I know you're saying to yourself, Benica, there cannot be a difference in the dang hamburger. Yes, there can. Yes, there can. Okay. Sunny roast whole fryer body chickeny thingies are 99 cents. I have to get this idea in my mind. There's a whole body fryer. Why can't it just be a chicken? If it was a chicken, it'd be live, I guess. All right. whole boneless pork loin for just $1.99 a pound, which is a great price, too. Now, here's some other things right on the front page. Buck and a half each for General Mills cereals. Sale 4 for $10. Dannon yogurt is 10 for $5. Knutson cottage cheese is 2 for $5. Crystal ice cream, 2 for $6. You got your twofers and whatnot. Here you got some yellow bell peppers, 2 for $1. You got crisp green kale, 2 for $1. You got red or green leaf lettuce, 2 for $1. You got local strawberries, 2 for $1. You got fresh squash, 3 for $1. You got 1 pound crisp carrots, 3 for $1. Mild red onions, 3 for $1. 2 for $1 for new crop ruby grapefruits, 5 for bone for Pasilla chilies, and 2 for $4, a 3 pound bag of Fuji apples. So I did the 2 for thing. And then don't forget, they got the great bakery department, they got the great deli department. All those things are just, I mean, they're so superior to what you're used to. You have no idea. They got Frank Bouget whipping up cakes and pies and things that are absolutely top-notch. This guy is a master pastry chef. You have to understand what I'm telling you about. Like, you say, well, I like a donut now and then. Buy one of his. Why buy a crummy donut when you can buy one of his donuts? Get serious. Anyway. And then with the March Madness going on, you're going to have a party and whatnot. Don't forget, they'll do party trays. They got the party tray, the veggies, they got the shrimpies, they got the cheese and meat and everything. They got all that stuff going on at Spencer's Fresh Market, where freshness is local in 5 locations on the Central Coast, Morro Bay, Atascadero, Rio Grande, Santa Maria, and San Luis Obispo. You can get out of right now. It's cool. All right, what else was I thinking about? They did something. They had to do it. I understand why they had to do it, you know. I don't think they foresaw that they were going to have to do it and have it become a ridiculously idiotic problem, but it's become one. South Street. You're going down South Street. You know, you turn off Broad, going down South Street. Let's say you're coming Broad, and then you're going to turn left down South Street. So because they had to put a median in so people could get into, what's it called? I don't know. What's this called? Quickie Market? Whatever it's called. I don't know. Who cares? The new market. So because people had to turn left and go through the parking lot where the bank is and all that, so now what's happened is they have made 2 left-hand turn lanes that merge into one pretty darn quick because, you know, they didn't widen the road on South Street. They didn't widen South Street. So you have 2, and here, yesterday we were watching this. Here you got cars turning right because they figure like, well, yeah, I'll squeeze in here. You know how they do. You know, I'll gun it, you know. So you got the cars turning right, 2 turn left turns going left, and they all merge in 50 feet to one lane. We watched a couple of cars and an 18-wheeler attempt that yesterday, and it was a sight to behold, I can tell you. Hello, 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 hello. I have without question the cutest young man in the entire world sitting in front of me. And it's Caleb, 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 Caleb. Hi, Caleb.
I'm Caleb Powers.
You get what?
I'm Caleb Powers.
Oh, Caleb Powers, right there. We got the whole thing. We don't need your address or phone number. Keep that to yourself. It's private. It's private when it's on the radio. Hi, Caleb. Now, you have been through adventures like nobody in the whole wide world down in Los Angeles. Do you live in Los Angeles?
No.
No, that's just where you had to go to get your noodle work done, huh? So you had a big old brain thing they had to do, you know, to make you better. And you can't even tell. You can't see anything wrong with it at all. Your hair's all grown in. You look just super dupe. So how do you feel?
Good.
Did they put extra brains in to make you a genius?
No.
They didn't take any out, though, did they?
Yeah.
Okay, well, that's good. I'm glad to hear that. Now, do you go to school yet?
Yeah.
Where do you go?
C.L. Smith.
C.L. Smith Elementary School, one of the most famous schools in San Luis Obispo, California. And you have, what's your teacher's name?
Miss Snyder.
Miss Snyder?
Yeah.
Is Miss Snyder nice?
Yeah.
That's really good, because if you get one that's not, it's really a long year. You know what I mean? Anyway, and I bet you love the heck out of your grandma. So you better say yes to that. You better say yes to that, Caleb. Say yes, I love my grandma very much.
I love my grandma.
There you go. I love my grandma. All right, well, I'm glad to have you here. And so your mom, I call her Karen, okay? Your grandma. I call your grandma Karen. So Karen and I are going to talk about some stuff that's going on in the news, okay? And I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll take a little break here, and then we'll come back and do it right after the break. So let's take a break. Here's how we take a break, Caleb, when Uncle Bill can figure out how to make the computer work.
Remember when you believed in the tooth fairy? You'd lose a tooth, get a nickel or a dime, maybe later a quarter, a buck, a Macy's gift certificate, whatever. Point is, don't you wish you could trade any of those for an actual tooth? You get older and they go away faster than Santa, the Easter Bunny, and of course the tooth fairy, which turned out was Dad dressed in drag. Swiss Dental Center and Dr. Carol Phillips can help you believe in yourself with the confidence of new teeth. Dr. Phillips sympathizes with your fantasies, but understands your realities. Opposing teeth. Without those, you're only gumming soft food. Imagine real implanted teeth that will really change your life. Your body tries to reject dentures, and all you can do is add more dental goo to try and hold them in place. It's a losing battle. Tooth implants replace the real thing naturally. Go to SwissDentalCenter.com and see how Dr. Carol Phillips can make an apple a day fun again. We may be getting older, but Swiss Dental Center can help us take a bite out of time.
Carl Benz patented the first automobile over 125 years ago. 5 years ago, in 2006, Star Automotive opened to provide dealership-level, independent Mercedes-Benz services to San Luis Obispo County. Hi, this is Brian from Star Automotive. We would like to thank over 1,000 Mercedes owners who have trusted us with their vehicles. If you haven't yet, we would love the opportunity to serve you. You can learn more about us at starautomotive.com or give us a call at 543-STAR. We'll keep the smile on your face and the Star on your car.
1340 KYNS is your news station, San Luis Obispo, and we have reworked our prime lineup to include your favorites. We would like to welcome back Randy Rhodes and Ed Schultz. We are saying goodbye to Carell and have moved Clark Howard to 8 p.m. To find out about the new lineup, visit us on Facebook at www.facebook.com/1340am. See you there.
All right, we'll see you there then. Karen Veely, Bill Benica, and Caleb in the studio today, and we're talking about what's going on at calcoastnews.com. And Karen's got some things up her sleeve here that we want to talk about on the air right away. And let me scooch over here. With what's going on out here, I don't know what to start with. Let's do this one. What do you want to do first?
Well, we can actually talk about something that we talked about yesterday just for a second. I just went by and Attorney Saro Rizzo and Attorney Stu Jenkins are sitting next to the Indian statue on the corner of Higuera Avenue and Prado Road, offering pro bono work to homeless that have been ticketed. And they have a large line, and I bet they're there most of the day.
Wow.
The amount of people signing up to have them be their pro bono attorneys for this.
How cool is that?
And, you know, they really, a lot of them have families, they have children. They've talked about how much this means to them to not have to pay these bills, you know, these tickets, and if he can help them. And there seemed to be a lot of excitement. They showed up at court yesterday, and they represented some of the homeless in court. And the judge agreed to do all the cases together, and you know that they were there for, and that they sign up. And I guess the Stu Jenkins told me the courtroom was so crowded there wasn't seating for everybody. People were sitting on the floor, and there were around 10 homeless people there. And if you consider 10 homeless people a day having to go in for tickets for sleeping in their vehicles, it has to be a pretty tough thing on the court system also.
Sure does. Do you know who the judge is?
Stevens. It's
Stevens.
Okay.
All right. And Saro Rizzo, I should not say he was my attorney, but he was going to be my attorney the next day if something hadn't resolved itself here at the radio station. So I just want you to know that you're in good hands with Saro. I just want you to know that.
And I also want to say Saro's wife, Lisa, is a fabulous writer and writes for Cal Coast News at times.
Okay.
And she's an extremely extremely competent reporter.
And I'm very familiar with her brother, who is at Cafe Roma, and her mom and his aunt. That's okay. He can jump in every now and then. That's quite all right. Okay, so we're going to have – now your grandma's going to tell about another thing that's going on, craziness is going on with the sheriffs.
Yes, there was a – and this goes back a while, but there was a lawsuit filed on March 13th by Dale Strobridge against Hedges, former Sheriff Hedges, Pat Hedges, current Sheriff Ian Parkinson, and also the County of San Luis Obispo in regards to firing related to retaliation, allegedly related to retaliation. And this is one side. A lawsuit is always only one side of a case. So this is but I know a little bit about this because it had even been related to Cal Coast News to some degree. But it starts well before Cal Coast News even started. Dale Strobridge was a person that talked about Gary Hoving and brought out that Gary Hoving was being illegally wiretapped. And he didn't call the press. He went to Human Resources and said, there's an illegal thing going on in my department. And they looked into it. They stopped it. Gary Hoving sued and was given $660,000.
He's okay. That's fine. He'll fix it. Take your time. Take your time. See that? Whoops, whoops. You got to push it in real hard. All right, Caleb. Ah, boy.
We're having a little microphone issue. Caleb's microphone came down.
That's all right. That's okay. We're
and
all right.
Then, and then he was president of the union, and he pointed out some problems with vacation accruals. And then as union president, when Ian Parkinson was running against Joe Cortez, he backed Joe Cortez, and he tried to get the union to back Joe Cortez, and it actually ended up in the union breaking into several fractions, and there was major fighting in the union. And Rob Bren was a good friend of Ian Parkinson, supported Ian, even did was using the sheriff's department office to send out emails for Ian Parkinson to the media, which is not even lawful. So there was a lot of pressure by Rob Bren. And at the same time, I came out with a story about Ian Parkinson. What had happened was he was an expert witness in traffic collisions, which usually means that you're non-related to either party. Up in the Monterey area, we got a very large settlement for his sister-in-law without telling the judge he was related. Another case that I was writing about at the time was there were some sexual harassment internal investigations into the sheriff's department. And so there was all these things going on that I was writing about. And for some reason, he ended up getting blamed. And somebody that was a source of mine at the department called me, and they said, I can hear Rob Bren just chewing out. You can hear it all up and down the hallway. Rob Bren chewing out Dale Strobridge, screaming that he is your source in the department. Well, the odd thing was, neither of those stories started in the department. The one story about the internal investigation was started by a gentleman that had a relationship. He was a slow police officer that said he was being harassed by a sheriff deputy that worked at the jail. It had nothing to do. He asked me to go to coffee, told me about the story. Nothing to do with Dale Strobridge, who I've never met, and I've called twice about union issues. He's never been a source for Cal Coast News. The other story on Ian Parkinson was given by someone else that he testified against that said, you know, he's testifying and I don't think he should be. So both had no, both were not related to him. But at the time, He was a good friend of Mike Brenner's, and Mike Brenner does free work for Cal Coast News. So he was getting blamed, I think, because he knew Mike Brenner. But at the time I asked Mike about it, and he said, you know, he's pretty upset about all these allegations. I couldn't even get Dale Strobridge to call on union issues because he didn't want to speak to me at all because he was in so much trouble over what he wasn't doing. But anyway, he finally he finds something else. He's on the computer at work, and he finds something on the Z drive that is personnel records that's not viewable by anyone in the department except for several people. And this was open to all officers. So he makes a copy of it on some drive, takes it back to the resources.
Excuse me, I didn't mean to interrupt you. I at first didn't understand this. I thought it was available to all officers, but only to the Sheriff's Department.
It was available to Sheriff's Department officers, but it wasn't supposed to be.
Okay.
It was private information that was only supposed to be, the human resources, certain people. And instead, this private information was for everyone in the department to see that was a sworn officer. So he took it and made a complaint to human resources. He didn't call Cal Coast News. He didn't make it public. No one ever reported on it. That was 2009. Ian Parkinson becomes sheriff in January 2011, and I think about a month and a half later, he fires Strobridge for what happened in 2009. So there, Strobridge is saying it was retaliation and has filed a lawsuit.
Now, what's the name of the guy that was spied on?
Gary Hoving.
He got $660,000.
Yeah.
So this, I hope the county has a lot of money. I didn't know they did, but I hope the county has a lot of money in the cities and whatnot because they're paying out fortunes in lawsuits there. It's really quite amazing. All right, we're going to take a break, and because we've got to play a spot to come back. I'm going to ask right now, Caleb. Caleb, did you ever watch Sesame Street? Have you watched Sesame Street?
Yeah.
All right, now here you go. Now, as soon as you hear the voice on this song, you tell me who it is, okay? All right, here we go. You ready? You're going to have to put your headphones on. Okay, here you go. Put your headphones on. Okay. As soon as you know who this is, you tell me. That's a guitar, but who's singing now? What? It's still the darn guitar. Wait, it's going to be somebody singing right now. Here we go.
Why are there so many songs?
Who is that? Who's the frog? Kermit?
Yeah.
Remember Kermit the Frog? That's Kermit the Frog singing about rainbows. Well, listen.
The dreamers.
ones that you care about. Country Oaks, owned and operated by John and Sharon Henney. They're friends of mine, really nice friends, and that niceness shows at their 57-bed skilled nursing facility at 830 East Chapel in Santa Maria. Country Oaks specializes in short-term rehabilitation and long-term care. Country Oaks accepts Medicare, Medi-Cal, HMOs, and private insurance, and will do the paperwork for you. They offer physical, occupational, speech, enteral, and IV therapies, including a fully equipped therapy room. At Country Oaks Care Center, your loved ones will find a warm and caring staff and a home-like atmosphere. All activities are geared to individual needs and desires, as well as nutritious meals and that extra ounce of caring and a cup of slow-roasted coffee. From Rotary to their annual float participation in the Santa Maria Elks Rodeo Parade, the Hennings are involved in their community. At 830 East Chapel in Santa Maria, Country Oaks Care Center, caring for the loved ones that you care about.
Back again with Karen Vealey and CalCoastNews.com. And we decided, Karen came in yesterday, but some stuff has hit the fan here, so we decided to go ahead and have her come in today and talk about some of these things that are going on. So one of the things that I thought I'd mention is that, because it just hit the website today and we should talk about it, is Paso Robles teachers' paychecks have been slashed. And this is another one of these, oh my gosh, you have to be kidding things. It's an OMG.
And, you know, the interesting thing was there was some administrative errors in over $1 million of monies that was, you know, gone from the budget with some problems and some, where is this money? Why are we run short? And then the administrator said, you know, we'll lay off teachers. I think there was, what was it, 22 or 33 teachers laid off, part-timers laid off also. And then in addition, they wanted the teachers to take a 9.75% pay cut. And at first the teachers fought it. And they wanted the administrators to take cuts also. But then they said, to protect our school, to protect the Paso Robles School District, we're going to take the pay cut. They agreed to take the pay cut. Administrators had no layoffs, no cutbacks, and no decline in pay. It all went on the teachers. And not only did they agree to take the deduction, the portion that's immediate is retroactive, and they're taking pay cuts going back. So where they don't get any checks during the summer, their next check, two or three checks before summer, are all going to be docked to make up for the retroactive pay cut. And some of the teachers are saying this is going to be very hard on my family to make our bills to have this happen right now, this big chunk of change gone from checks.
Well, and not only that, you know, I mentioned this the other day when we talked about layoffs of teachers. It's not like you can go someplace else in the Central Coast and work. You know, I mean, everybody's doing the skinny mini thing as far as trying to run schools, and it means you have to leave the area, you have to uproot your family, the whole thing. I mean, it's really, really tragic. It's beyond just plain bad. It's tragic, I think, you know, that you have to do that.
And yeah, I can imagine the morale in the teachers. Administrative error, problems in the administrators, and the teachers take the entire hit.
Is an administrative error in the administration, or does it have anything to do with the school board?
And I'm not completely positive on that.
Okay.
Dan Blackburn's written a couple stories on it.
Because I've mentioned before that, you know, a lot of people in all with good intentions say, I want to be on a school board, but, you know, they don't know anything about multimillion-dollar budgets. And therefore, maybe they're not the people that should be on a school board.
And I notice this on boards and councils and different things. You know, I was walking out of a council meeting the other day, and an attorney was sitting next to me. And he was saying several things. He goes, well, that means that. Well, that's not okay. And he goes, you know, they need to have more lawyers and more accountants and that, you know, people with the background on these councils and these boards.
I mean, if people do things from the heart, I understand that they do. But it doesn't always mean that you're up to snuff on doing it. You know, so I don't really criticize, but I say, you know, stop and think before you say, okay, I want to do this, and say, can I do this? I wouldn't ask to be on a school board. I don't even know about budgets in the thousands, for God's sake. You know? So I can't do the millions.
And I think I think it's amazing, though, that the teachers did this. I think that they sat down and said that this school, these schools, the children, the families, we're going to take the hit to make sure the schools have the money to make it this year. I thought that was unusual thing for a union to do. Very often they had the right to stand their ground. But on this one, they just completely 9.75% reduction in pay. The retroactive part surprised me.
Amazing. 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 Your grandma finds out some amazing stuff, you know what? She's like a magician. What else is going on? We have a sad story locally about the young lady that took off and left a note and said, I'm on my way. And so she hasn't been seen since, March 17th.
And they've talked to them. The good thing about this one is they've talked to her. They know that she's trying to head to her father has full custody. It's a 13-year-old girl that's been missing, I think, since the 17th from Paso Robles. Mm-hmm. She left a note and said she was going to head toward her mother's. People say they know she's safe because she's called several relatives to say I'm safe. But she, that's a fairly long time for being missing for, a 13-year-old. And her name is Sierra
Tharp.
You know, the interesting thing is there's another Sierra from Northern California also missing right now with real foul play expected in that one. I was watching ABC News this morning. It said the teenage Sierra missing from from California, FBI searched her house today. I thought, oh my! And I sat there and watched it and realized it was up north just a little bit in California. But they both had the same name, Sierra, and they both came up missing around the same time. They're no connection. They're completely different issues.
The other thing, of course, you wonder about is she may be in contact with family members and say, I'm okay. How okay and where are you? You know, it'd be obviously you'd want to know, find out what's going on. What do you mean you're okay? What are you doing? She's not driving, obviously, so she's somehow hoofing it or hitchhiking or doing something.
And wouldn't that be, it's taken her an awful long time to get to the, Sierras. And would that be about a 6-hour trip?
Yeah, and here's the other thing, too. The police would be involved if, now here's the big if again, everybody has a different time frame. She's from Paso Robles, and I don't think because the kids have what they call, Polly has spring break, the kids have Easter break. Yep. And I don't think Easter break has started yet for any of the schools on the Central Coast.
No,
so therefore, she's also truant.
She is also true. And they actually said they got involved. She left a runaway note. She told her father she was mad about family disagreements. And so she did leave a note. When he went into her room on the 18th, he found the note. But police have said the main reason that they're involved is because she's only 13. It's the age of the child.
Okay. Well, either way, whatever gets them involved is fine with me.
Oh, yeah.
Now, here's the problem with this. Is it the Paso Robles police?
It's the Paso Robles police, but they're working with other departments. They know she's headed toward Ridgecrest area. I think her mother lives in Inyo Kern.
Okay, because the Paso police don't have enough officers to issue citations that are illegal.
Yes, they are
underhanded.
I talked to one officer one night, and he told me they were backed. They had 11 calls backed up, and only I think 2 or 3 officers on that night. So they are having a very hard time keeping up on calls in Paso.
Now, here's the other thing, too, though, I'm going to say about to the people of Paso Robles, I would say to the citizens, and that is, I admit this, when they used to do this thing, what's your beef, or whatever it was in the paper, I used to really criticize and say, why would you waste newspaper space doing this? But it's really brought to my attention just how goofy a lot of these calls are and how time-consuming they are. And I have to tell you the truth. Every police department on the Central Coast, in my opinion, when they get some of these really whacked-out calls, should just go in the house and have a cup of tea, and everything will be okay. we don't need to send a patrol car for some idiotic thing that doesn't make any bit of difference anyway. So it's just kind of weird to me.
And I think they should have that also, if they can tell that it's not, but then what if they don't go? Here's the other side of that. What if someone says it was no big deal and it really is?
Right.
How often does that happen, though?
You're right. I don't know. But when you read what some of these things are, and then they have and the police advise the person about whatever it was. They're out there being counselors, for God's sake. Just counselors for humanity, for the people that are, mentally deprived and just need help. And that seems to be a waste of police officer time. I'm sorry. I think they should be doing something else.
I was talking to an officer yesterday, and he said, you know, it takes about 10 years to really get confident as an officer. And I bet it does with all the things that come up.
Oh. I just can't imagine. I wouldn't do it in a million years. I can't imagine it. I just don't have it. I don't know why anybody does it. And then somebody calls the phone. They say, here, you need to come with a gun because somebody's threatening me. There's a gun. And then you, who don't even know the person, say, okay, I'll go do that. That's the first time I'd say, see what you can do about that and call us back if you can. It's like, holy cow. All right, other things that are going on. That may be it for today because we did everything yesterday for sure. Now, you have some other things that are going to be hitting this weekend. And then...
We have some pretty big things coming out next weekend, too. Some follow-up on some important stories and also some information on another big story in the court system.
All right, call me when it's time to do it. Caleb, thanks a lot for coming in, buddy. You want me to play another song for you? You like? Would you like it? Okay, this is in Sesame Street. Let me cue it up here, bud. All right, we'll go out. We'll head out with Caleb and Karen. And this is called. This is a cute little song. Do you know who Winnie the Pooh is? Okay, this is called The House on Pooh Corner.
To explain how a few precious things seem to follow through while I rise. After all said and done, I was watching myself, sleeping there with my bed by my side. So I tucked him in, I kissed him, as I was gone. Swear that old bear whispered, boy, welcome home. Believe me, if you can, I finally come back to the house and caught about one. What do you know? There's so much to be done. Count all the bees in the hive.
She saw the clouds from the sky.
Out there in Radio Land, it's a new year, and that means resolutions are made, and resolutions will be broken. I can tell you about a resolution that was made decades ago that's never been broken, and that's the folks at Slow Roasted Coffee. They made a vow to always keep their standards high, no matter what. That means you'll taste the difference for yourself when you drink Slow Roasted Coffee. That's because your friends at Slow Roasted Coffee continue to provide their loyal customers with the freshest, highest quality coffee priced right in order to earn your continued loyalty. In case you don't already know it, you can enjoy this fine Java at work. Just call Slow Roasted Coffee and let them know you'd like your workplace set up with hot brew pots and slow roasted coffee, which will, of course, perk up the staff. All puns intended. Slow Roasted Coffee, your neighbors and friends.
Country Oaks Care Center, caring for the loved ones that you care about. Country Oaks, owned and operated by John and Sharon Henry. They're friends of mine, really nice friends. And that niceness shows at the 57-bed skilled nursing facility at 830 East Chapel in Santa Maria. Country Oaks specializes in short-term rehabilitation and long-term care. Country Oaks accepts Medicare, Medi-Cal, HMOs, and private insurance, and will do the paperwork for you. They offer physical, occupational, speech, enteral, and IV therapies, including a fully equipped therapy room. At Country Oaks Care Center, your loved ones will find a warm and caring staff and a home-like atmosphere. All activities are geared to individual needs and desires, as well as nutritious meals and that extra ounce of caring and a cup of slow roasted coffee. From Rotary to their annual float participation in the Santa Maria Elks Rodeo Parade, the Hennings are involved in their community. At 830 East Chapel in Santa Maria, Country Oaks Care Center. Caring for the loved ones that you care about.
Caring for the loved ones that you care about, by gosh. This is Talk is Cheap on KYNS 1340 with Bill Benica. I thank you for joining me today, and in just 5 minutes or so, we're going to join Jim D, and we're going to talk about what's at the Palm Theater and what else is going out there in movie land. And I hope you'll stay tuned for that. 786-2578 is the number, 786-2578.
CBS News, I'm Pam Coulter. 17 counts of premeditated murder have been filed against Robert Bales, the U.S. soldier accused in the shooting of Afghan civilians, including 9 children. CBS's Steve Futterman at Fort Leavenworth.
The 38-year-old staff sergeant was officially informed of the charges here at Fort Leavenworth, where he's currently being held. No details were released. It's presumed that Bales was accompanied by his military lawyer as he was formally told of the charges. The 17 counts of premeditated murder carry a maximum sentence of death. Bales' civilian attorney, John Henry Brown, says his client's psychological state will be a key factor in his defense.
The mental state eventually will be definitely an issue.
Of the 17 Afghans killed, 9 were children. Steve Futterman, CBS News, Fort Leavenworth, Kansas.
President Obama's spoken out for the first time about the shooting of an unarmed black teenager in Florida. He said he was glad the Justice Department is investigating the death of 17-year-old Trayvon Martin.
I've got to be careful about my statements to make sure that we're not impairing any investigation that's taking place right now. But obviously, this is a tragedy. I can only imagine what these parents are going through.
A grand jury is looking into possibly charging George Zimmerman, who claimed he shot the teen in self-defense. He's getting support from friend Frank Taft.
George is not a Rambo. George is not a vigilante killer, a cold-blooded killer.
The police chief in Sanford stepped aside in hopes of quelling anger over the department's failure to arrest Zimmerman. President Obama hopes to warm up relations with Pakistan while he travels in Asia next week. CBS's Sam Litzinger has more.
The White House says President Obama will meet next week with Pakistan's prime minister, the session scheduled after a nuclear summit in Seoul. The White House says one goal is to review efforts to stabilize Afghanistan, which has been destabilized in part because of insurgents coming in from Pakistan. Tensions between the U.S. and Pakistani governments have also been high because Osama bin Laden was killed in Pakistan, and some say Pakistani officials must have known he was there.
Nerves are still on edge in the French town that was just the scene of a bloody killing spree by a homegrown extremist. The city square in Toulouse was evacuated because of a suspicious package, but it turned out to be a false alarm. Rick Santorum hoping to fire up his presidential campaign in Louisiana. The GOP contender got in some practice at a West Monroe shooting range, and he told supporters he's the best one to take on the president on issues like health care.
It is the most important issue in this race because it has a huge impact now on the economy and future on the economy and the future of our freedom. And it's Mitt Romney is uniquely disqualified on every front to take Barack Obama on this issue.
At the close on Wall Street, the Dow up 46 points, NASDAQ ahead 6, the S&P up 5. This is CBS News.
Hi, I'm Tony Stewart, Sprint Cup champion and co-owner of Stewart Haas Racing. So I've got a question for you. Want to be a co-owner of my race team? No, really, I'm serious. It can happen when you enter the Quicken Loans You're the Boss sweepstakes. Win, and for one amazing race weekend, you'll be an honorary co-owner of Stewart Haas Racing. Enter the Quicken Loans You're the Boss sweepstakes today at QLRacing.com. You'll get to hang out with me, Ryan Newman, driver of the 39 Quicken Loans Chevy, and the whole crew. It'll be awesome. Oh, and get this. If you win, you'll also walk away with $10,000. Got your attention there, didn't I? So come on. What are you waiting for? Enter the Quicken Loans You're the Boss sweepstakes today at QLRacing.com. That's QLRacing.com.
No purchase necessary. Legal residents of the 50 United States and D.C. 18 and older. Void where prohibited. Promotion ends 4/30/12. For official rules and complete details, visit QLRacing.com. Sponsor, Quicken Loans Incorporated. Equal housing lender. Licensed in all 50 states. NMLS number 3030.
No more high-spending shopping trips to Europe for Syria's first lady. CBS's Larry Miller with the story.
This 13th round of EU sanctions on Syria gets personal. Among those targeted are the women closest to President Assad, his mother, sister, sister-in-law, and his wife. They can't travel to EU countries, buy goods from EU retailers, and their assets are seized. EU foreign policy chief Baroness Ashton says don't underestimate these sanctions.
They target individuals, entities, in ways that prevent them from carrying on business as usual.
Larry Miller, CBS News, London.
No charges are being filed against the woman who flower-bombed Kim Kardashian. The reality TV star was covered in the white powder as she hosted an event in the lobby of a West Hollywood hotel. The woman who lobbed the flower was initially detained by hotel security, but being a good sport about it, Kardashian declined to press charges. Pam Coulter, CBS News.
I'm Professor Burke from the University of Farmers, where we handcraft policies like Italian shoes, and this is a pop quiz. Does sitting on your wallet feel like sitting on a lopsided booster seat? No? Well, it should. See, Farmers agents can help you stuff your wallet by combining auto and home policies so you can walk tall, sit crooked, and hopefully find a decent chiropractor.
If you want answers about saving money, you want a Farmers agent. Find yours at Farmers.com. We are insurance.
We are Farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
Coverage not available in all states.
There's no guarantee a penny saved is a penny earned. No guarantee a word to the wise is sufficient. Even with conventional wisdom, guarantees are few and far between. But when you invest in municipal bonds insured by Assured Guarantee, every dime of principal and interest is guaranteed. Savvy investors rely on Assured Guarantee's financial strength and municipal credit experience. For insured municipal bonds, talk to your financial advisor or visit thinkassuredguarantee.com.
Happy Friday to you. Worked your butt off again. Happy Friday to you. Go get drunk with all your friends. By Sunday after you've been on a bender, your boss's face you barely will remember. Happy Friday to you. Have a great weekend.
Hey,
kids, remember lots of adults and kids too paid admission to enjoy the show. We must insist on absolute fun.
Dan, 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 dan. That means it's Palm Theater time with Jim D. Hi, Jim D. from the Palm Theater.
Hi, Bill. Great to be back.
Nice to see you, sir. We usually kind of divide this up in two segments. We kind of do what the plebeians are out there seeing, and then we do the highfalutin stuff at the Palm after that.
Or vice versa.
Or vice versa, however it may be. But here's the thing. So this is the big thing going on right now is it called Danger Game?
The Hunger Games.
Hunger Game.
Based on three novels, so we will see the franchise, and it's pretty amazing. They're anticipating a huge opening, and it's what's interesting right now is this is sort of a slow period normally for the movies. We're after the Oscars, and they position this film sort of in the time where not a whole lot of other stuff is coming out. But this is something I think that they would release any time, and it's going to be huge. It's the books are hugely popular.
Disney apparently, without having its pulse on the finger of anybody, made John Jones, whatever that movie is.
John Carter,
and just flopped and flipped and flopped.
Well, hold your horses.
What?
I don't worry about Disney anyway, because if their movie flops, they've got a lot of income from their theme parks,
That's true.
On the other, and, of course, their Pirates of the Caribbean, probably made them enough to lose on a couple of stinkers. But John Carter is actually playing very well in Europe, in China.
It is?
Yeah, and it's up, it costs $250 million, which is... It's a lot. Probably another $200 million to promote it and so on and so forth. On the other hand, it's only made about $70 or $80 million here in this country, but overseas I think it's up to about $150 million.
Oh, really?
When it all comes out in the wash. It'll be fine. It just wasn't... I mean, John Carter will not have an opening like Hunger Games will just be this weekend. I think it had like a $30 million opening. Hunger Games are predicting $120, $150 million.
Well, if you have that much international success, then you're going to have the DVDs and Blu-rays and all that stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Do you think they chance a sequel to it? Wasn't there three books in that series or something?
Oh, it's Edgar Rice Burroughs who created Tarzan. Yeah. I think there's either 10 or 11 of them.
Oh, really? So they're going to do that.
Well, they looked at that and they just said, we got a franchise here, but maybe the next one, if they make another one, they'll maybe hopefully make it for $70 million.
I don't know. I don't know if I told you this. I saw on the premium stuff a charter, the last Pirates of the Caribbean movie was on.
I made it through the first one, and I haven't seen any of the others.
Well, what a stinker. Actually, not as good as some people have done with sequels, but I thought they all were pretty much the same. The first three, they were all pretty much the same, and they held your interest about the same way, and they did some new stuff. It was kind of fun. I don't know what they're thinking about the last thing. Let's just waste money. Let's do this. Let's do the Hunger Game, and I got a little thingy about this. And we'll listen to a little bit of this, and this is what's coming up. It'll play in about 10 seconds.
What if that company was Esurance, and this wasn't a hypothetical question? Could be coolish. Esurance. Click or call.
The Hunger Games is about a girl named Katniss Everdeen who volunteers to take her sister's place in these crazy games where basically 24 kids are put into an arena to fight for survival. And in my personal opinion, it's really about how far this girl would go to protect her family and the ones that she really loves. And my character is Clove.
I was going to go into your character.
Oh, yeah. My character is Clove, and I'm one of the career tributes in the games. And I'm kind of malicious and a little bit vicious at the same time and kind of sarcastic, too.
And to get into your character, you wrote a backstory because you were trying to really research the depths of the character of Clove because she's sort of a dark, as you said, malicious person. How did you envision her childhood when you were writing this backstory?
Well, when I was writing her backstory, I had to keep in mind that she's a bad person. And, it's starting off as reading her as a bad person and then learning to love her. So it was discovering what her family life was like, because that's a lot that has to do with why people become so terrible, and you know, kind of diving into the human soul, which is something that's always interested me. And so in the backstory, I kind of wrote that she had a terrible relationship with her parents and that she just wants to prove to them that she's better than everyone else and that she can win these games regardless of what they think.
And these were very physical roles in the movie. For example, your character.
All right, we're not talking about rolls or croissants or donuts or anything else. We're done with it. All right, so that's the Hunger Games out there. Apparently young people love it to death. It's going to be a big thing. And I think Dave Hubdan, KSBY, was talking. There was actually only three girls that were waiting in line last night, but he milked it for all it was worth. He got the.
Yeah, I saw that. I was thinking the camera's going to pan down the sidewalk and see a big line.
I don't think there's any past that girl.
That's okay. I'm sure it filled up. Again.
All right. Let's see what else is out there. What the heck else is out there? Let me see. Hunger Games. This 21 Jump Street's doing fairly well.
Very well, actually.
Hugo's on its way kind of out. They're showing the Iron Lady at Park. I thought that was done, too.
That's, you know, the fact that Meryl Streep won the Oscar, it's getting some traction, I think.
You know what did really well is Journey to Mysterious Island.
Yeah.
Is it little kids that like, I mean, kids like 8, 9, 10 that like that, or is it the Harry Potter group, or who is it?
I think it's geared towards a younger audience, but it's 3D usually, I think. We've been presenting it, and it's got The Rock, and he's always kind of fun, so... That I think, you know, if you can look at the budget of that, it's probably, you know, a tenth of John Carter. And so they probably did very well with that one.
Now, wait, here's another thing. I'm not going to play this, though, but let me just tell you what it's about. I'll tell you. I was going to play it, but we don't have enough time. Let me see where it is. Okay.
You remind me of me with my new digital projector at the Palm.
We're going to talk to you about this new digital projector at the Palm.
Oh,
here it is. The Last Hangover, The Hangover 3, is the last in the franchise. Hopefully it is the last in the franchise. If you're going to do the exact same thing in a different country, then why do it?
Yeah, well,
than three times.
I haven't seen either of them, but they said the second one was sort of a retread of the first one.
I have to admit, the first one I got a kick out of. I really thought it mm-hmm. was, especially because they started the way they did, you know, where these guys are waking up and they have no idea where they've been, you know, and they're missing a tooth and all this kind of stuff. It was very, very funny. All right, let's talk about, I'm going to the Palm. Want to go to the Palm and talk about what's going on at the Palm, because, as you mentioned, you have a new Digitalis Fujimungai recorder there, projector, it's the cat's pajamas, and so you have a movie, Chico and Rita. It's a cartoon, Chico and Rita. Tell us about that.
It all takes place in Cuba, and even though it's a cartoon, I do not recommend it for kids because it's provocative. It has nudity. It has some sex, but it's a fabulous soundtrack. It has Charlie Parker, Duke Ellington music, and it's more the drawn style of animation.
Yeah.
There's a little bit of computer stuff, but it's doesn't look like a Pixar film, but it's really great. And it was nominated for an Oscar for Best Animated Feature. That's why we've got it. And we are showing it on our new digital projector. It looks absolutely gorgeous on the screen, and the sound is also improved about 1,000-fold, because we're playing the films now in actual Dolby 5.1 stereo, which is the stuff's flying around the room and the streets are. So it's really a major upgrade, but on the other hand, it's something that theaters have to do. We've been told film is going to disappear within the next 2 years, as early as next year. They're saying by January 1st, 2013, there are going to be some distributors who will not send you film. They'll send you a hard drive, and that's, you've got to have the proper projector to play it.
So now I'm wondering how they do this, because when they first started to stop using tape, and the agencies in LA didn't send tape anymore, what they did was they all pooled their resources and they bought hard drives, and they would send these things overnight. Mm-hmm. And then you had to upload it to your computer.
Mm-hmm.
And that was new stuff for me, let me tell you. That was like far-out stuff, and you had to remember to check the darn thing and all that. But anyway, did they send it to you that way, or do you actually have something you can hold in your hand?
It's both, because here's how it works. They'll send you a film on what's called a hard drive. And I should just say that, you know, digital projection has been around for 5-6 years, and I have not really been impressed until recently. Some of the projector I have at the Palm finally got to the point where the picture looks gorgeous and the sound is great. So it's been around for quite a while, but it's really gotten to the point where it you know, I was satisfied with it. However, they send you this metal box, which is a hard drive. You load it into the projector. Can't play the movie yet. They'll send you what's called a key over by email, and you have to download it into like a little flash drive. You plug that in, and you unlock the movie. That's how it works.
We'll be back with Tom Cruise after these words.
Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby to get ourselves a treat.
Delicious things to eat.
The popcorn can't be beat. The sparkling drinks are just dandy. The chocolate bars and the candy. So let's all go to the lobby to get ourselves a treat. Let's all go to the lobby to get ourselves a treat.
California is number one at a lot of things. Surfing. Wine. We're the state with the most millionaires, the most nonconformists, the most millionaire nonconformists. That's why Farmers, the number one insurance group in California, is proud to have been born right here. Our 4,200 agents statewide have the experience to help you tailor a plan for the unexpected.
You can't go wrong with a guy named Wright, so give Farmers agent Mike Wright a call at 541-3942.
Number one ranking based on market share of property and casualty insurers in California.
San Luis Obispo's Palm Theater is your ticket to cinema for the soul. Jim D's Palm Theater shows first-run film festival favorites for those who seek movie mastery that runs deeper than the overly hyped pedestrian fare. This marvelous intimate multiplex is known as the Slow Theater, where the prices and popcorn are the best in town. Green as a bean, the Palm is also the only solar-powered theater on the Central Coast. Across from the Palm Street parking garage, the Palm on Palm. Cinema for your soul.
Rainbow connection with a little frog. Kermit the Frog. I had that. So here I accidentally had two children's songs on the CD I brought in today, and then I had my little guy Caleb come in.
Perfect.
So it worked out really, really well.
Yeah.
My next guest is a guy who entertains kids to death. I've run out of little kids' songs. Okay. I got the music though to Space Mountain. So that's kind of legitimate right there. Eh? All right. Here you go. All right. We're talking to Jim about what's going on at the Palm Theater today and throughout the week and stuff. And so now we have some new things going on. Let's mention the artist is still there. And is this the last week or?
Yeah. It's the last week. It won the Oscar for Best Picture. It's a lot of fun. The silent movie.
Like this is the last week. This week.
Yes. Well, it's week number 11 for us, I believe.
And when does it stop playing?
Next Thursday.
Oh, okay. So, yeah, okay. All right. Okay. Yeah, next
seven
week
more
is
days.
Week. Okay, seven more days. All right. Then we have new stuff going on besides Chico and Rita. And by the way, has you ever had a cartoon before that had sex and comedy and violence and nudity, you know?
Ritz the Cat.
Well, besides that one. You know, we all know about that one.
That goes way back.
That goes way back.
I'd have to think, but I think so.
Okay.
But
how about The Deep Blue Sea?
The Deep Blue Sea is a new film, a wonderful British director by the name of Terence Davies. It has Rachel Weisz. It's a very, it's supposedly very romantic love story, and it's brand new. And she was on The Daily Show this week, so that was a nice little promotion for us.
Good, and there's a write-up in Ticket Magazine about the movie, which I didn't read it. I don't know why.
Well, the review that we got wasn't so hot, unfortunately. So there's been really good reviews, kind of mixed reviews on this one. But it's a very, let's just say it's a very, when I want to say slow, it's not that it's boring, but it's visually amazing, and it's a very romantic love story.
So during the slow parts, you just sit there and play with your Etch-a-Sketch.
There you go.
All right, here we go. We have a separation. Who's separating?
It's a couple in Iran. This is the winner of the Oscar for the best foreign language film. It is essentially a dysfunctional family in Tehran, a couple who want to separate, but there's all these family issues. The husband has a father who has Alzheimer's. There's the wife wants to separate and take the daughter. They have a very strict marital laws in Iran, but the acting is absolutely incredible. I really think it deserved the Oscar for Best Foreign Language Film, and it's sort of, for me, personally, it gets rid of this idea of this us and them, you know,
Iran is in the news.
But when you get down to the actual people and the problems that every family has, these folks are just the same as us. And it's the acting is absolutely amazing.
This is usually the case. Except for the armies we send at each other, this is usually the case.
Yeah.
You know, that's the way life works.
Yeah. The thing about this, you know, Iran does have a very vibrant film industry, and we've shown a number of the films at Palm, or just, well, not even close to what they produce, but this one really struck a note with critics in this country, won the Oscar. And the amazing thing about this film for me is I can't believe these are actors. I mean, it seems so real. It seems so like this. There's a camera, you know, in this household, and you're just watching a very real situation unfold. And so from that standpoint, it's a fantastic film.
You know, and what's interesting, that reminds me we talk about Afghanistan and all the problems and the tribes and the Yahoo and the Iha and all the grief that's going on there. But Christine Anandpour did a special that I watched one night, and it was fascinating. You know, the population of Afghanistan, half the people in Afghanistan are under the age of 18 years old. Mm. And so there's this huge, massive young people coming along in Afghanistan that very much love Western everything,
mm-hmm.
you know, everything. And so they showed these people are in these horrendous situations, but a bombed out building had a floor that they could use as a skateboard park. So they were showing these Afghani kids, you know, using the skateboard park.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just very interesting. So I think it is interesting to see another culture, but see, you know, the sameness, not the difference of it.
Yeah,
because that's, you know, you're right. We're all used to the difference of it. We know that.
Yeah.
I mean, we know what the differences are. We know all that. But to see the sameness of it is really good.
It's the power of great cinema, I think.
Yeah.
You know, a good story is a good story no matter where it comes from. But then, and again, exposing to other cultures is great.
Although there's this thing. Remember when Parenthood came out? I was a parent at that time. And it was like, you know, just... It was like a day in the life of Bill Benica. So I wasn't sure why they made a movie about it. It was like, yep, that's how they are, those little guys. You know what I mean? That's how they are. They're all there. All right. Let's mention this because you have, I think it's fascinating. I think it would be a really, really revealing class if you went to Cal Poly. And you have they have a special class, and it has to do with cinema, and it's an English department class.
Mm-hmm.
And so they study all kinds of genres and age, time spans and whatnot.
We've been having this Cal Poly class at the theater for, I think, 15, 20 years.
Really?
And the class meets at the Palm. And we've shown everything from the classic world cinema like Seventh Seal, Rashomon, La Strada, or they have a certain series. The last winter quarter was Alfred Hitchcock. We showed 10 different Alfred Hitchcock films, and students come in, 90 of them, and they discuss Hitchcock. And the professor, Doug Kesey, has about, I don't know how many books he's written on cinema. He's really knowledgeable, great guy. And the new cinema class starts on Monday. It's a genre class. We're doing The Graduate, Night of the Hunter, a whole bunch of other stuff.
Because what could be, what could be more revealing as a peek into a time period than a movie? You know, to look into a movie and see what was happening during that time period.
Yes.
And even if you take The Graduate and the one line that was in there, plastics, I mean, but how true that became, you know, and that makes it very fun, I think.
You know, for me, it's like exposing a younger generation to some of these classic movies is really important because, I mean, they are going to go see The Hunger Games this weekend. That's a given. But the fact that they have access to so many movies now with all of the gadgets and computers and, you know, you can order anything you want, I don't know if they really venture and go back and watch some of this great stuff. I just think it's part of our popular culture. You should have seen Casablanca by now, for instance.
Sure.
I mean, I'm just throwing that one out.
Sure.
But you know, I would these kids come into the class and you say Casablanca or something like that to them, they go, huh? So, I mean, just to understand, you know,
But this would also be interesting, I think, if I was taking a class, is to show the original King Kong and explain how completely complicated and undoable it was that when it was done,
mm-hmm.
and then show the second King Kong, which was really half-baked, and then show the last King Kong, which I actually enjoyed. I thought it was a watchable movie.
Mm-hmm.
And then to, you know, compare things like that. and say, you know, this is the same movie done three times. What's the one about the prisoner gets out and he's going after the lawyer that got him? Come on, help me out with it. It's De Niro was in one version and Nick Nolte.
Cape Fear?
Cape Fear.
Ooh.
So, but that's the other thing. You take the original Cape Fear with Robert Mitchum and then you juxtapose that to the new Cape Fear.
Mm.
You know, I mean, there's been redos that have been really quite watchable. And some have been really quite great, and there have been a few that are better than the original. Not often, but a few times. And mm-hmm. so, you know, I think that's cool. I think it's a cool class. I don't know if they've been taking my advice and doing this kind of stuff, but, you know, whatever.
Well, I'm just really glad they have the film class at Cal Poly. Any more exposure of younger people to cinema in general, I think that's a good thing.
Good. All right, we're going to wrap it up. We have a Palm Theater. It's on Palm at Palm and Palm and Palm and Churro. And the Palm parking garage across the way, it only costs you first hour's free, and that's 50 cents or something. And so you can go there, get the great popcorn. It's solar powered. The whole thing's great. The people are very nice. They greet you at the door, and the seats are very comfortable. And you're just going to have a nice time, and you're going to see, we're going to start to see some of this whole new Digitalis stuff. So this is going to be really good.
I'll call it that from now on.
I thank you very much for being here, Jim.
Thank you, Bill.
Right, have a good weekend, sir.
Dr. Carol Phillips invites you to the Swiss Dental Center to discuss the wonderful new possibilities to make your mouth look and work like it should. Teeth. They come, they go, they come again. And then when they go the second time, it's goodbye forever. There's nothing you can do about the aging process that starts the loss of your permanent teeth. It's a bummer. But now you have two choices. False teeth and bridges and the pasty goop necessary to make those objects try and cling to your gums and the roof of your mouth. Or 21st century implants offered by Swiss Dental Center. Identical to the real teeth you've lost without any more problems. Imagine, Dr. Carol Phillips can make it possible to chew normally, to eat normally, to actually enjoy chewing and eating normally. If you have tooth loss for whatever reason, go to SwissDentalCenter.com and let others tell you what Dr. Carol Phillips has done to help their lives. Dr. Carol Phillips, the most experienced tooth implant specialist on the Central Coast. We may be getting older, but Swiss Dental Center can help us take a bite out of time.
1340 KYNS is your news station, San Luis Obispo, and we have reworked our prime lineup to include your favorites. We would like to welcome back Randy Rhodes and Ed Schultz. We are saying goodbye to Carell and have moved Clark Howard to 8 p.m. To find out about the new lineup, visit us on Facebook at www.facebook.com/1340am. See you there.
Our wildlife and natural landscapes are disappearing at an alarming rate. Fortunately, as a concerned landowner, you can help prevent some of this loss. Protect your land for the future and prohibit hunting and trapping of the animals who call it home by working with the Wildlife Land Trust. Call 1-800-729-SAVE. That's 1-800-729-SAVE. The Wildlife Land Trust. Go to wildlifelandtrust.org. The Wildlife Land Trust. Saving lives by saving life.
Thank you, madam. We're on the air. We're back on the air. Help. All right, and I have my guests are Ivan and I forgot your name. Eva. There's Ivan and Eva. That was not hard, Bill. You can remember that, can't you? Ivan and Eva Ulver here, and Ivan is the Pied Piper, really, of San Luis Obispo. I've heard of you. I've heard about you. I understand your Facebook page has about 300 million children that are on it there with you. And
actually, that's a YouTube page.
We
checked to see
YouTube.
If they've come overnight, but no, in fact, they're on the YouTube that have listened to
that's really
one
great.
Of my songs. Yeah.
Now, tell me about you, because I don't know about the history of Ivan.
I was born and raised in Los Angeles. My mother and father had a nursery school, and that was crucial to the rest of my life. I lived in the nursery school until I was about 18 years old. I went out for an independent music career. I did some stuff with other people. I'll even hold it up for you. I was doing that at one point in my life. 40 years ago, that was me.
There's Ivan the Ice Cream Man.
That's right. And in the last 10 years, somebody gave me, I've just cherished all the music that I heard when I was in the school. There was, I'm going to even hand this over to you now. This is some of the kinds of records that I've been.
This is absolutely a hoot. Here's Groucho Marx, the funniest show in the songs in the world. Here's the Little Engine.
And that was done by Branham, who was became Mr. Green Jeans 10 years later.
Oh, really?
This Captain is before that happened, right?
Okay, Uncle Lumpy.
Right,
he
exactly.
was called Uncle Lumpy.
Right.
And this was with Fred Waring as Pennsylvanians that did the music of this and the Happy Bird.
And Fred Waring was the one who invented the...
Fred Waring invented, I don't know.
Waring Blender.
He did.
He did.
He did.
I wouldn't kid you.
I had no idea. And Train to the Zoo, and this is by...
Those are the Weavers, but they don't say so because there was a blacklist at the time, so their names were not on it.
Okay, and let me see what else I got. I got Grimm's Fairy Tales for kids.
Remember Jazbo
Collins?
For hip
kids. Who's again?
Al Jazbo Collins. He was on KSFO in San Francisco.
No, because I was from another
where
part
were
of
you?
The country. Well, when I was young, I was outside. I lived outside of New York.
Okay.
So we watched Sandy Koufax and some of these
All
people.
All right, I got
know.
You, yeah.
And then I moved to L.A. after the service. And then Henry Hawk, and this
right.
is a Warner Brothers featuring Mel Blanc, of course.
Right, we got a lot of those.
Yeah. and of course, his son's taken over for him and does about as well, let me say it this way.
Pretty well,
he
yeah.
He does, yeah, about as well as the people that took over the voice of Frank Oz.
Yeah.
About, you know, about
I'll
like
you hear that. Yeah,
like
yeah that's right.
Anyway. So here your mom and dad had elementary school and
nursery school.
Nursery school, I'm sorry.
2 to 5.
Nursery school. And then you but then you did something else with your
life
in between.
Well, yeah, but at this point I was an only child. I'd come home every day from school and I have 42 to 5 year olds waiting around. So we'd hang out with them and talk to them. I started playing the guitar and I had a captive audience immediately. So I started singing to the kids, and then that's I came out of that, you know, and I wrote songs for other people, Glenn Yarborough, Rod McEwen, the Four Preps. But I was a marginally successful songwriter, I would say.
I would say I was marginally successful. I would say I
should get my royalty checks. Believe me.
I was going to say I'll move it up a notch on
that.
Marginally successful.
Well,
that's good
yeah.
for you. I think
yeah,
that's really
yeah.
great.
Yeah.
So then you've been on the Central Coast how long?
Since November.
Oh, really? Is that all?
Yeah, yeah. I moved out here in November. I've been in New York City for the last 30 years.
Really?
You know, to make something of myself, establish myself, all that kind of stuff, to do, seek my fortune.
Now, as you sought your fortune in New York,
and
we'd occasionally sneak in there because we only lived about 30 miles away when
Where were you?
Jersey,
exactly.
In Jersey.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
So as you sought your fortune there, what were you doing in New York?
Well, right away I found out that singer-songwriter, I was not going to be able to make a living, so I took a job in a nursery school because that I was real good at. They said, this kid can talk to kids real well. And then somebody suggested, they said, you know, you should take your guitar and start going around the nursery schools. You'll get more money and you'll have more fun. And so I started playing and singing with kids in various schools. And I did concerts. And I wrote Fire Truck. I wrote this song called Fire Truck.
We're going to hear the song Fire Truck, and then we're going to talk to Ivan and Eva Olva some more. We're going to hear Fire Truck right now, and here we go.
Fire truck, fire truck, I want to ride on a fire truck, hey, fire truck, I want to ride on a fire truck, I want to sleep in the fire station, wake me up when the fire bell rings, I'm gonna put on my hat, put on my coat, put on my boots, I'm gonna slide down the pole. Whee! Then I'm gonna get into my fire truck. Fire truck. I wanna ride on a fire truck. I have a hook and ladder. A hook and ladder, I climb that ladder and I hold on tight. I'm gonna get out the hose and I'm gonna shoot that water, I'm gonna shoot that water from the hose on my, help me, fire truck, I wanna ride on a fire truck.
that fire truck comes near, people put their hands right over their ears. They do that because the noise is so loud from the siren on my, help me again, fire truck, I wanna ride on a fire truck. Hey! When that fire is all put out, I'm gonna jump into my fire truck and turn it around. I'm gonna go back to the fire station. I'm gonna have a hot, hot bath, a hot, hot dinner with hot, hot food like hot, hot chicken, hot, hot macaroni and cheese, hot, hot broccoli. And for dessert, I'm gonna have some cold, cold, cold ice cream. Then I'm gonna brush my teeth, jump into my bed, pull the covers up to my head, and I'm gonna dream about my fire truck, I want to ride on a fire truck, hey, fire truck, I want to ride on a fire truck, fire truck, I want to ride on a
fire truck, and the kids love it. The kids adore that thing. It's just great. I get such a kick out of that, too, that they do, and I think it's really fun. So it was on YouTube, and so parents plop the kids in front of YouTube, and the little guys love to hear it. And you can tell it has the kind of beat and the kind of tune that would attract a child. You know, it's not real complicated. Is that okay to say it that way?
No, that's it.
Yeah,
that
it's not
very
real complicated.
Simple, sure.
Yeah. So I think, and that's what makes a hit.
And
I've
written songs since then that were okay, pretty good, but never got down to that level again. Nothing a 1-year-old could sing along with.
All right. Now this is my guests today are Ivan and Eva Ulv, and so you decided of all places to become the third residence of Halcyon. Is that correct?
To become the what residence?
Third residence of Halcyon.
Oh, no, we're not in New York anymore.
No, Halcyon. Somebody said you lived in Halcyon.
I've been involved with Halcyon for 40 years. So
that's what I'm telling you. You're the third residence of Halcyon.
I know, I understand.
There's hardly anybody else there, I don't think.
Not too many, no.
How'd you pick Halcyon of all places?
Huh?
Why did you pick Halcyon of all places?
It picked me.
Okay, I got you.
I have to be honest, it really did. I just went there years ago. I took a walk around town. I said, yep, this is... First of all, it looks like North Hollywood looked when I was a kid. How many? Almost 60 years ago.
I was going to say, wild
there
back.
Are eucalyptus trees.
Yeah.
There's green, green grass. There's dirt roads. No street lights. It really is a home to me. And that right away, I saw that.
Nobody knows that L.A. ever looked like that ever. They don't know.
Yeah, yeah.
And now they're all mad. I don't know if you saw this thing. They're all mad at the city in L.A., all the movie people, because they painted a green fluorescent bike lane thing on Spring Street.
Wow.
And it was the Everywhere USA thing they did when they were showing a city.
Wow.
And it didn't cost them any money to go out and do it, you know.
Right.
So now they got a green fluorescent strip, which doesn't add to any movie whatsoever. So
sure.
They're all torqued up. All right, we're not going to do any more of that. Let me ask Eva how long you guys have been together and how you met and all that.
Well, we met online, actually. We were both corresponding with each other, and we actually met because of K-Jewel. I was living in Delaware, and I listened to an old radio station there whose call letters I don't remember anymore. It was a sister station, and we didn't know it at the time, but they shared a playlist. And I loved old music, he loved old music, and he wrote to me on a chat line. They just played, you know, something, and I said, wow, they just played that here, too. And then, lo and behold, the next song was the same, and we've been together ever since.
This is close enough.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
That's very fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. As a matter of fact, I work for a station. We played easy listening music. Well, it was a duplicate to a station in Santa Barbara that got into this market.
Sure.
And so they hired me as program director, and these were all on these huge reels of tape. You know, the tapes would last 4 hours each. And so they said, well, what's the first thing you're going to do? So the first thing we're going to do is we're going to mix up these tapes every time we get them. And I go, why would you do that? I go, because I don't want somebody listening to the exact same song on another station in Santa Barbara. I want to surprise them a little.
You know, that's so great.
That was the first order of business, you know what I mean? So that's very interesting. And you know something? I can feel a certain warmth in you, Ivan, and I can see, and you're kind of a character-looking guy, and I'm sure kids really take to you. You know what I mean by that?
They
that's,
do.
That's a compliment, by the way.
Yeah, no, I take it as a compliment. I mean, I'm really, because of my background, I'm really great with kids. It's not that I don't get along with 7 and 8 year olds, but I don't breathe the same air in the same way. I can really talk to a 2 year old about how blue their coat is or something like that.
How interesting. How fun. Yeah, and it's a gift to be able to do that for
it
sure.
It is fun.
It's
yeah.
really. Now, Eva, where were you living when you heard him?
I was living in Delaware, and not long after that, he moved back to New York in Greenwich Village, where he's had an apartment for 30 years, and I moved up there when we got married 10 years ago. So,
wow.
Greenwich Village.
30 years you lived in the same place.
I'll tell you how big Halcyon is. The place that I lived in New York was 250 square feet. The place that we're living in now is 1,900 square feet.
Wow. Wow. And a 250-square-foot thing probably costs as much to live in as a thing in Halcyon.
We learned a lot about living and coexisting.
Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah, New York's expensive. It always was. Anyway, this is so now what do you do with yourself? How do you present yourself to the kids?
Well, I got back here. You know, I'm really here now. We really we're settled in a place and good. And what surprised me was I started going around to places that had preschoolers and saying, hi, my name is Ivan Ellison. And I was shocked to find out how many people knew me from the past years that I've been coming around. And we're working.
In just the past couple of months, he's taken over the last Wednesday of every month. He does the story hour at a Rio Grande Public Library at 10:30 in the morning.
Now, there's a badge. I mean, because you have to be a librarian to do a story hour.
Right.
I'm doing a story hour there.
Good for you.
We're doing churches of all kinds. You know, we're doing barbecues and stuff like that. It looks pretty good. And we're really hustling this new CD, which is called...
Oh, let me get the new CD.
Yeah, it's called This Is My School, which is very much written about the nursery school that I was born and raised in. If you open the flap there, you'll see that big institutional thing on the left is where what I called home.
Wow, that's interesting. That's it. Now, is there a cut on here we should
play?
Yeah,
the first cut is the whole process of going to school and...
Uh-huh.
The fact that we work there and we play there and we grow there. And
do you, Eva, do you play an instrument?
I play the cello and the piano both very badly, but I have a great appreciation of music, which makes it such a treat to live with a guy like Ivan.
Yeah, I was a DJ. That's all I could do is play records. All right, we're gonna hear This Is My School, and this is by Ivan Ulv, and it's the newest thing out, and we want to cue it up and go.
What do I do when I go to school? I open the door and walk right in. I put my coat in the cubby and then I'm in my school again. Where do I go when I am in school? If it's sunny, I go outside. Ride on a bike I like to ride. Go up a ladder and down the slide. This is my school. I'm in school today. This is my school. I'm here to work and play. What do I eat when I eat at school? Carrot sticks and an apple slice. Juice and crackers, milk and cookies. Popcorn is very nice. This is my school. I'm in school today. This is my school. I'm here to work and play. I'm here to work and play. How do I use my time at school? I construct things on my own. I paint lots of beautiful pictures. When they're dry, I take them home. What do I learn when I am in school? I learn how to be your friend. Can play and work together. Do a good
job and do it again. This is my school. I'm in school today. This is my school. I'm here to work and play. This is my school. I'm in school today. This is my school. I'm here to work and play. I'm here to work and play.
Mostly I played when I was in school. I have to confess to you, I mostly played is all I did. This is Ivan Olve with me and his wife Eva, and they're just into this kid thing that's so cool. And so here's a new thing that Ivan's going to be starting, and it's called Treasure Ivan Radio, and it's at treasureivan.com. And this is the golden age of children's records. And I'm trying to think to myself if I ever really listened to children's records when I was a kid.
I would really like to know that.
I don't know that I did. I don't know that I did, but maybe if I heard some of it, I'd go, oh, yeah.
That's what I think. I think so. Yeah, a lot of people, when they hear Tom Glaser, may not mean much to you. He's the guy on the cover here. He wrote On Top of Spaghetti, which he said, I think when I die and go to heaven, they're going to say, what did you do while you were on Earth? And I'm going to say, I wrote On Top of Spaghetti. Say that you can't come in here.
I do know the song On Top of Spaghetti. All right, there you go. So I must have had children's records.
I'm just not.
Well, yeah, and it would have been probably, you have albums. There was probably 45s. It was probably Funny Color Plastic and stuff.
Right, and 78s. Those are all 78s.
Those are 78s.
Yeah, they're 78s. And we had little suitcases that you just whip out and play your records over and over and over and over again. Between 1945 and 1955. Is the golden age of children's records. They were all putting on stuff. All the big stars were making kids' records. And
why in that period of time? Is there a reason?
The war was over. I don't know. They had it. The technology was there.
There was also a change going on at that point in the education system for children. Actually, back east in New York, the Bank Street School had been founded about 20 years earlier. And the idea there was that children shouldn't be given adult-style literature. Even if it was a child's story before then, it was still written in adult words with adult sort of ideas. And they pioneered this idea that children should be given literature that made sense to them. It was called Here and Now. It was things that were easy to relate to.
My favorite, now this is interesting, my favorite book as a kid, my favorite, it wasn't even a golden book, it was one of those kind of like golden book things.
Yeah.
And I finally found a copy in an antique store.
Great.
And it was called Rudy Kazooty.
Sure,
Rudy
I have
Kazooty.
The record.
Yeah, Rudy had the record. Rudy Kazooty,
sure.
Gallipucci Pup was his guy, Polka Dotty was his girl, and Poison Zumac was the bad guy. And then my father, now here's what they're talking about. I know exactly what you're talking about when you say, written sort of an adult way, but sort of like a kid's book. And I'll tell you the perfect example of that, because we used to read it at my grandmother's house when I was there, mm-hmm. was Uncle Wiggily.
Sure.
You know, and Uncle Wiggily, when you kind of really look at Uncle Wiggily, you sort of say, you know, it was for kids, but not for kids. One of those things. It's kind of like the cartoons they make now that are for kids, but actually they're for adults also.
That's right.
Or maybe more for adults than kids.
And the profound, I mean, you take a story like The Carrot Seed, which has been in print since 1945. A kid goes out, he plants a carrot seed. His mother says it won't come up. His father says it won't come up. His big brother says it won't come up. And he just keeps watering it every day and singing this little song, and finally one day it comes up.
We're going to hear the carrot seed.
Okay, it's pretty long.
Okay, how long is it?
It's probably 5-6 minutes.
Okay, I'll tell you what we'll do.
Yeah.
We'll listen to it at the end.
Okay, good. Yeah, good idea.
Right. We got in with something in the day, so
fine.
I'm with that. All right. Let me see. I'll tell you exactly how long it is.
Just as a little more of a teaser on the carrot seed, this is a version of the carrot seed. The book was written by Ruth Krauss and illustrated by Crockett Johnson, who also did the Purple Crown, Harold and the Purple Crown.
Crayon.
Yeah. But the version of carrot seed that you're going to hear at the end, Ivan took from a record, not from the book, but from a 78 record that his parents had in their nursery school.
Now, here's why I have to ask you a question, Eva, because you just know all this stuff. All this stuff's flowing out of you, and you're not as old as that guy. Or me.
Not yet.
You know, boy, are you cool.
I kind of noticed that, you know. But anyway, did he teach you all this stuff, or did you have a knowledge of some of this stuff?
He taught me everything I know about children's records.
But what she knows goes way beyond that. She's in a 19th century...
I was in charge of the education department at a historic house in New York. So
oh, really?
I'm sort of into old stuff, if you know what I mean. But I love old music. I love the way that they put lyrics together and they put music together. I have a great appreciation of it.
That's interesting. Is this an old historic house in New York City or New York State?
In New York City, in Greenwich Village, it's called the Merchant's House Museum. And if you're going to go to New York, it's a place you got to go. Most people don't know about it. And they just reopened their servants' quarters, which are the oldest intact site of Irish habitation in New York City.
Now, I have a reason for asking this question. Eva, where were you born?
I was born in Delaware.
I was going to say, because you don't have a New York accent whatsoever.
No.
And you don't, really either.
No, we work to stay above a lot of things in New York.
Well, let me tell you this. When I first decided to do radio, the first thing somebody said to me was, you can't say cup of coffee because it's not going to work.
Right.
You know, you
got
to
right.
get rid of that New Jersey accent or radio's not going to be kind to you whatsoever. So that's very interesting. It is interesting when people travel from different areas and where they end up and what they do and all that. And tell me what brought you to the Central Coast per se, to this region.
Well, I was raised in, I don't like Los Angeles, and that's
right.
where I was born and raised.
Right, right, right.
And I got up here, and I just liked it a lot. I don't really know anymore.
Actually, I think it was David, wasn't it?
Friend
from San Francisco.
And in Halcyon, but not, I just like.
When you lived in L.A., did you ever come up here, like, on a weekend?
Oh, yeah. Well, not on the weekend, but I've certainly, drifted by many, many times.
Okay.
I lived in San Francisco for a few years. There's some kind of happy medium about this. It has things I like in
places. I agree with you. I'll agree with half of that. My wife and I adore San Francisco. If I never have to set foot in L.A. again, I'm a happy man.
You speak my language.
Unfortunately, I'm a wounded vet, and so I have to go to that crazy vet center down there on Wilshire all the time. And I try it, but luckily I haven't had to go for a couple of years. I'm the happiest man in the whole wide world. I do self-medicine. I just fix myself whatever it is, because if I have to drive all the way down there and sit on the traffic on the...
I haven't been to Los Angeles in a long run. We talk about maybe, she can see my nursery school is still a nursery school, but it's not my parents, obviously, anymore.
That's but a fun fact.
Yeah, it is fun. There's a few fun facts down there, after all.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
That school is still a nursery school.
It still is a nursery school, yeah.
That's amazing. I find that startling. The way L.A. is, everything.
If my mother could come in the room now, she'd say, it's not a good school. And they really did have a good school. It was really a whole philosophy behind it.
No, that's interesting, because normally they tear things down and start over. They're big on that down there. They like doing that. Anyway, that's just interesting. So now let's remind people. Let me get my information here. Let me remind people that you can hear Ivan on Treasure Ivan Radio, and that's at yesterdayusa.com.
Yes. Which is out of Texas, and it's a old-time radio station. It plays nothing but old-time radio, and I'm part of that.
And when's it on?
Huh?
And when is it on?
You got to go and find out. Go to treasureivan.com, and you'll find out.
Okay.
It's pretty spread.
Treasureivan.com.
Yeah.
All right. We have, let me see how much time I got. I got enough time to probably say goodbye, and then we're going to listen to Carrot Seed on our way out.
Okay.
And so I want to thank you two for coming in and taking
what
the time.
What a pleasure. Yeah,
thanks
this was
for
really
having
a pleasure
us.
Long-awaited.
Thank you. I very much appreciate that. And we'll do it again.
Good.
Let me do. Let me say this to you. We'll meet here Monday at 12:00. Until then, may all your trails be happy ones, and don't believe everything you hear here, because talk is cheap.
One day, a little boy planted a carrot seed. He said, "I'm going to grow a carrot." He picked up his shovel and his watering can. He went outside and he dug a hole in the ground. He dropped the seed into the hole and he sang this song. Carrots grow from carrot seeds. I planted one to grow. I watered it, I pulled the weeds. Carrots grow from carrot seeds. The boy lived in a house with his mother, his father, and his big brother. After he planted the seed, he came home and said to his mother, "Mama, I planted a carrot seed. I'm going to grow a carrot." His mother said, "I'm afraid it won't come up." But she sang, "I know some things you don't know. So don't be disappointed if your carrot doesn't grow." He went to his father and he said, "Papa, I planted a carrot seed. I'm going to grow a carrot." His father said, "I'm afraid it won't come up." And he sang, "I know some things you don't know, so don't be disappointed if your carrot doesn't grow." He went to his big brother and he said, "Hey, big brother, I planted a carrot seed. I'm going to grow a carrot." His big brother said, "It won't come up."
And he sang, yeah, yeah, won't come up. Yeah, yeah, won't come up. Yeah, yeah, won't come up. Your carrot won't come up. But every day the boy pulled the weeds around the seed and sprinkled the ground with water. And every day he sang this song. Carrots grow from carrot seeds. I planted one to grow. I watered it. I pulled the weeds. Carrots grow from carrot seeds. But nothing came up. And nothing came up. Everyone kept saying it wouldn't come up. His mother sang, I know some things you don't know, so don't be disappointed if your carrot doesn't grow. His father sang,
I know some things you don't know, so don't be disappointed if your carrot doesn't grow.
And his big brother sang, well, you know what his big brother sang. He sang,
yeah, yeah, won't come up. Yeah, yeah, won't come up. Yeah, yeah, won't come up. Your carrot won't come up.
And then he sang it again. He sang,
yeah, yeah, won't come up. Yeah, yeah, won't come up. I told you so, I told you so. Nothing's coming up.
But still the boy pulled the weeds around it every day, and every day he sprinkled the ground with water. And every day he sang this song.
Carrots grow from carrot seeds. I planted one to grow. I watered it. I pulled the weeds. Carrots grow from carrot seeds.
And then one day the boy went out to where he had planted the seeds. And he saw a big, green, bushy, leafy something coming from out of the ground. And he knew that below that big, green, bushy, leafy something, there would be a carrot. So he got his little shovel, and he dug. And he dug, 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 dug, dug. And he dug, 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 dug, dug. And he dug, and he dug, and he dug, and he dug, and he dug. And when he dug all he could dig, the boy uncovered a very big and very beautiful carrot. He took the carrot home, and his wheelbarrow was so big. And when the little boy's mother saw it, she said, oh my, what a carrot! His father said, I never saw a carrot so big. And the big brother said, nobody ever saw a carrot so big. How did you do it? The boy said, easy. And he sang,
carrots grow from carrot seeds. I planted one to grow. I watered it. I pulled the weeds. Carrots grow from carrot seeds.
Happy trail.
CBS News, I'm Pam Coulter.
Charges have officially been